We're talking about eviction notices here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers' statewide ban on evictions expired more than 6 weeks ago, leaving vulnerable renters at risk of losing housing during the pandemic that has left more than a million Wisconsinites out of work. According to the data and analytics firm Amherst, roughly 28 million renter households nationwide are estimated to be at greatest risk of eviction. Are you worried about losing your home? Have you talked with your landlord or bank? What do they tell you? We're at 800-642-1234. Christine Donahoe is a supervising attorney and the Housing Priority Coordinator for Legal Action of Wisconsin, which provides free legal help to low-income individuals. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
What have you seen since the ban on evictions was lifted on May 26th?
Well, we've seen those callers come in through our intake line saying that they can't pay rent, they don't know what to do, and they're facing eviction. And we're seeing more calls than this time last year, for sure.
What do you tell them?
Well, we try to get as much information as we can, give quick advice to those people who we can help, and then through just simple advice on the phone. And for those who have more complicated facts or who are later in the stage of eviction, we try to see whether we can represent them in court.
What is the first step for that renter who knows that they can't pay their rent? What should they do first?
Well, if they can't pay their rent, they should certainly reach out to find out about some rental assistance programs, because Governor Evers has allocated $25 million for the Wisconsin Rental Assistance Program. And that's to help various, renters who can't pay their rent due to a loss of income. And then there are other funds, depending on where you are in the state. The county of Milwaukee, where I am, has $7 million for renters. And so we've seen that local agencies and municipalities have tried to set aside funds for renters who are in this tough spot. So I would say the first step is to try to find out what resources are out there to get, coverage for your rent. And then if there's no option for you, or if it's a little too late in the game, then reach out for legal help.
Milwaukee, this is pretty acute, because is it about half of Milwaukee County has renters?
I would believe that. I don't know that statistic, but I think it's a much higher percentage of renters in Milwaukee than in other counties.
How does the backlog of unemployment claims that haven't been processed, how is that affecting these eviction actions?
Well, that's having a huge effect. I mean, the number one reason that people are evicted is for non-payment of rent. That's probably about 90% of the eviction cases. And so when we see people lose their jobs to no fault of their own, they're not going to be able to pay rent, and they're going to end up in eviction court. I just talked with a client this week whose wife lost her job because of the pandemic. She was a nail tech, and her salon was closed, because of the safer at home order and the pandemic. And this client and his wife are Vietnamese speaking. They don't speak or read English. And they have not been able to get through to file unemployment on the phone. So I understand that there are translators available, but he cannot get through on the phone. They want everybody to apply online, and he can't read English. So he's in an especially tough spot, and it's hard for anybody to apply for unemployment right now. And even when they do apply, there's this big backlog. But we see special challenges for people who don't speak English, or maybe don't have technology or aren't tech savvy to apply online. So unemployment is directly related to these eviction cases.
Are immigrant communities especially affected by eviction actions?
Absolutely. Immigrant and non-English speaking communities are at very high risk simply because they have less information and access to resources. There's just not a lot of information that's available in all the languages that we need it to be. And, it's great that if you want to call in and apply for unemployment, that there are translators, but there's no easy way to translate these websites. And then there's just a lot of information that flows through word of mouth. And so, people who might, are in immigrant communities or non-English speaking communities might not hear about these resources simply because they might be more isolated from a lot of this information.
We're talking with Chris Donahoe, who is a supervising attorney and the housing coordinator for Legal Action of Wisconsin. We're talking about evictions as the pandemic triggered an economic recession. And your situation, are you facing eviction as a result of the crisis? What is your story? What are your questions about what happens next? It's possible there will be a second round of federal stimulus checks. Would a stimulus check help your situation now? Join in at 800-642-1234. Chris, did Governor Evers' moratorium on evictions, did that contribute to a backlog perhaps, or why we're seeing a spike now compared year over year?
The spike is due to the loss of income of so many families. The eviction moratorium only helped stabilize those families and gave them time to work things out with their landlord, gave them time to receive their stimulus check, and for many of them to receive their unemployment benefits. So my guess would be that no, the moratorium didn't create the spike. The spike would have been there in March if there had been no moratorium, simply because that's when folks started losing their income.
What are landlords saying in this situation? Are they negotiating with their tenants right now?
Some are and some aren't. So I think that a lot of landlords realize that if they evict their renters right now, they'll probably never see a dime of that back rent that's owed. And so they realize it's in their benefit to wait and see if this renter can get some financial assistance, or wait to see if that unemployment check or that stimulus check comes through. And if they wait and work with their tenant and be patient, they're more likely to get that lost rent. But we're also hearing from tenants who were eligible for this state rental assistance and landlords who refused to accept it and wanted to proceed with the eviction. You know, unfortunately, landlords often will wait for rent to be missed as a way to get a tenant out. So maybe they just don't like the tenant, or maybe there have been other problems, but they don't want to deal with a messy fight in eviction court. So they just wait till rent is missed. And that's a very clear-cut eviction case. You missed rent, you're out. And there's no messy fight. And so I think that this is going, you know, unfortunately, and I'm not saying this is the majority of landlords by any means, but I think that there are some situations where tenants are more vulnerable because they don't have a good relationship with their landlord. And that, you know, this is going to be the opportunity where the landlord says, you're out. I'm not going to mess with this.
How important is that communication between the tenant and landlord?
It's critical. You know, we as lawyers get involved when things have already broken down to the point where the landlord and tenant aren't working well together. Maybe they're already in court or about to go to court. But if the tenant and landlord can work things out and get on the same page before that, they're going to be in a much better position. Because once a case is filed in court, that filing is on your record. Even if you work things out later, and even if the landlord is wrong and that case is dismissed, there will still be a record that an eviction was filed against you, and that's going to hurt you. So if you can try to work things out ahead of time and avoid any court filing, you're going to be in a much better position. And your landlord's going to be more relaxed as well, because they will not have spent the time and money and effort to file that eviction.
We are looking at the spike in evictions and the tenant-landlord relationship amid COVID with Chris Donahoe. She's an attorney focused on housing with Legal Action of Wisconsin. Have you seen a wave of tenants moving out of your neighborhood? Do you know the circumstances? Are you worried you may get so far behind on rent that your landlord will evict? What questions do you have about tenant rights? Be part of this 800-642-1234 email ideas at WPR. Back in a minute with Chris Donahoe right here on the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Evictions are a concern statewide, but the problem is particularly acute in Milwaukee, where renters make up about half the households in the county. Renters are especially vulnerable to economic shocks because median income is dramatically lower than that of homeowners with a mortgage. Renters also spend a higher share of their income on housing costs than homeowners. How stable is your housing situation? Are you working with your landlord or lender to stay in your home? Do you have a plan? And is it fair? Let's discuss. 800-642-1234. Attorney Chris Donahoe is with Legal Action of Wisconsin. She stays with us. Let's take a call now. Mark is joining us from Wauwatosa. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
All right. What is your question?
Well, my question is, I'm a landlord. I have a couple of properties, and I have a tenant in particular that has lost their job. And I was wondering how easy it is for me as a landlord to apply for these for this financial aid on behalf of my tenant, because perhaps they may be too proud to want to ask for help, or maybe they just don't understand the process, or maybe they're just frustrated with the process. And so as a landlord, can I apply for some of these financial incentives to help on my tenant?
On behalf of your tenant, Chris?
You know, I have never heard of a landlord being able to do that, but this is a new program and it's possible. It just hasn't come up because I haven't been asked by a landlord before. But I don't think so. I would be surprised. I think that you need to work with your tenant and ask them to apply. And my guess would be that if they've already lost their job and they're behind in rent, that pride is not going to be the issue. If they need and want stable housing, they're going to be flexible and willing to apply for this rental assistance.
And what is the name of this rental assistance program?
The Wisconsin Rental Assistance Program, so WRAP, and it is administered through the local county agencies, and it depends on where you are, but the community action programs.
Mark, thank you for the call. Let's bring in Nancy joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I'm wondering if this present situation is going to bring about any changes in the discriminatory rules. I have a very large empty apartment. I own this duplex, and I haven't rented the upstairs apartment for over 20 years, but now I need the money, and I would like to do something about the renting. But I also have I'm 88 years old, and I have a need to have help around my house and especially the yard. But discriminatory rules have said to me in the past that at least I've been led to believe them, that I could never put an ad in the paper stating tenant must remove snow and must help with lawn care. I've never been allowed to do that, which is the reason I haven't rented the apartment. But now, you know, this would be a good opportunity for me and for a tenant. Is this going to bring about changes in these laws that allow me to specify the kind of tenant that I want?
Nancy, I want Chris to respond on that point.
Yeah, Nancy, you know, this isn't something that's come up with me before, but I could definitely see how if you place an ad like that, it could be considered to say essentially somebody in a wheelchair is not welcome to live here. You're saying, you know, this person needs to be able-bodied and able to shovel snow. So I could understand why it's possible somebody has told you that would be discriminatory, though, you know, I haven't researched this or this hasn't come up before, and I can't give you any specific advice in your situation. So I think that it's important to note that, you know, we can't discriminate in housing and if, you know, so I'm not sure how you could work that out.
Nancy, thank you. We're checking in on the housing situation and rising evictions during the pandemic. Chris Donahoe is a supervising attorney for Legal Action of Wisconsin, taking your questions around evictions and landlord-tenant relationships at 800-642-1234. Chris, the pandemic has affected the way the justice system does business, and court hearings are now often virtual. How has that impacted how clients go through this process?
The courts have tried earnestly to adapt and keep things moving. And I applaud their efforts. They don't want everything to stand still. They want justice to be served. And it's great. in some situations that we can have these hearings remotely. However, there is a huge problem to a lot of our clients when the courts say you can't appear in person, you have to appear by Zoom. You know, for example, somebody may not have access to technology. They may not know how to use Zoom. They may not have reliable internet. And so when we say that we're going to have due process, but it's only going to come by Zoom hearing and there's no other way, that's causing some problems. For example, we heard from a client last week who got notice of an eviction hearing, but didn't know how to access the hearing by Zoom. I think that either the notice didn't have the information on it or it was forthcoming. He called the courthouse to figure out how to appear, and they said, we'll get back to you. They didn't get back to him, and the next thing he knew, he had a notice from the sheriff's department that they were coming out. Apparently, he had missed the hearing, but he never got information. So if we have reliable information that's actually getting to tenants, and they have access to the internet, to computers, this could work. But we need to be able to accommodate and realize that we're not all in the same situation when it comes to our ability to access, you know, virtual hearings.
We often hear the term tenant rights and the rights of the tenant. What are those most important basic rights?
Well, when it comes to eviction, it's very important for tenants to know that landlords cannot change the locks and lock them out. In Wisconsin, landlords have to go through the formal process through court in order to remove anybody, and only a sheriff can come out and actually remove somebody in their property and lock them out. So that's the most important thing to know. You have a right to notice in writing from a landlord. You have a right to go to court and to state your case and any reasons you think you shouldn't be evicted. And only the sheriff has the right to remove you.
How costly is the eviction process for both tenant and landlord?
To file an eviction, it is somewhere around maybe $250. That's to initiate the case in court. And then when you go to the sheriff to actually ask for them to come out and remove somebody, there's another fee. And I can't remember exactly how much it is, but it's somewhere around $150 or $200 for that. There could be additional expenses depending on whether a landlord hires an attorney or has to store the tenant's property at some storage facility. For a tenant, the process doesn't necessarily cost anything. They don't have to hire a lawyer. However, if they lose the eviction, those costs that the landlord incurs could be put on the tenant.
What does this do to a tenant's record? You mentioned that earlier. How does it scar someone's record and their history if this eviction lands in court?
Right. So if the eviction is filed, it's going to be easily accessible, easily searchable on CCAP, the court's online website. And right now, it's so easy to search for these court records that landlords almost across the board always search to see if a tenant has had an eviction filed against them. Now, that court record does not tell you whether the eviction had any merit or what happened. It just tells you that it was filed and whether it was granted or not. In other words, was the tenant evicted? Now, that filing alone stays on a tenant's record for 2 years. But if the eviction is granted, that stays on the tenant's record for much longer. I think it's 10 years. And so that record is going to haunt the tenant for potentially 10 years to come. And many landlords will not rent to a tenant who has been evicted.
Could that haunt your prospects for employment?
It could potentially. You know, I'm not an employment lawyer, so I'm not sure all of the restrictions that I believe that employers can only hold something against you if it's relevant to the job. Mm-hmm. So I would be surprised if an employer could say you were evicted and therefore you can't work this retail job.
When tenants fight the eviction in court, how successful are they? What do you see?
Well, there's a huge difference in their success depending on whether or not they have an advocate. So it's important to note that 90% of landlords have attorneys when they go to eviction court, and 90% of tenants do not have an attorney. So there's a huge imbalance there. And when what we see, especially through our eviction defense projects that we have in Madison and Milwaukee, what we see is that when lawyers get involved, there's a huge increase in the rate that tenants are able to work something out with their landlord or even potentially win the case and have it dismissed.
Oh, so there could be even some negotiation that would happen if lawyers would be involved.
Absolutely. That's the vast majority of what we do as lawyers is negotiate and come to some sort of agreement. It's rare that we end up having to go to a trial and fight things out. Usually when a lawyer is involved, they can look at the case and tell the tenant, listen, these are all your weaknesses. These are all the reasons you might lose. We think we should work something out. And then they can tell the tenant, what the landlord's offering is a good deal. We should take this. You can stay for 3 more months. You can pay this backlog, but then you need to leave at the end of September.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Chris Donahoe is a supervising attorney and the housing coordinator for Legal Action of Wisconsin. Coming up, we talk with a Milwaukee restaurant owner about why he favors a mandatory mask law. Do you tie on a mask when you go out? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.